arrived in Malta and disembarking into the dockside, and then we board a number of very old dilapidated buses with no windows, and we all look a little bit like coal miners coming off shift, in that we were dirty and disheveled, and then we were transported to a place called Safi Strip. Safi Strip was a length of aircraft runway large enough to allow Wellington bombers to land, and it was a base mainly for Wellington bombers and hurricane fighters, and I think it was also the base for Faith, Hope and Charity, the three either fairy swordfish or Gloucester Gladiator, I'm not sure which they were now, but they were the ones with the torpedo loaded under the fuselage, and we had a tremendous respect for their pilots, because if they didn't use the torpedo on their sortie and they came into land with a torpedo under their fuselage, one false move and that would have been curtains. But anyway, we were greeted by the Air Force Station Lucca. It was originally called Safi, and the Safi Strip became the Lucca main airport. We found ourselves surrounded by a large semicircle of field kitchens, and the CEO welcomed us to Malta. He told us that he could feed us, but he couldn't accommodate us. For the Luftwaffe had damaged the billets, and they were uninhabitable, but he hoped to have them repaired very soon. But for the time being, we had to sleep in the open. There were no washing facilities. We were just being fed. So we then had to take out our billy cans and dig out our irons, and so we slept in the open for, I think it was 3 nights altogether, before we got back to base at Lucca and were able to have the normal washing and toiletry facilities. The wireless mechanics had built us radio operators a new VHF-DF, a very high frequency direction finding station on the edge of the runway, and it was disguised in an old farm building. And there we operated a 3-watt system, and to get back to base, of course, we always had to cross the runway, and I can remember one particular time when I was crossing the runway, an Italian Marquis fighter decided to do a very rare strafe for the runway, and I was fortunately near to Nelly the steamroller. I dived under the front roller of the steamroller, and that really did save my life. And nearby, about 100 yards or so, was a Wellington bomber, which the Strafe had set on fire, and luckily for me, I got away with that one. But the story of Nelly is that Nelly was an old-fashioned steamroller with a big front roll and two rear iron wheels. The Wellington bombers would be out bombing the North African coast, and in the meantime, the Leftwood would be bombing Safi. So before the Wellingtons could land on their return journey, on the runway, bomb holes had to be filled up. And it was a case of every hand on deck filling up the bomb holes, and Nelly the steamroller would iron them out as best it could to enable the aircraft to land. If we take a look at the situation in the Mediterranean in 1941, you had the British at Gibraltar, but coming eastwards, you had Spanish territory, which is Anglo-Axis. They were friendly with the Germans. Then you got Italy with Mussolini, and also the Aeronautica and the German Luftwaffe. And to the south, on the North African coast, had a very large slice of it held by Rommel. Now, Rommel depended on his supplies very largely from Italy, mainly by ship. So in Malta, the British had a submarine base at Manuel Island, and they also had a squadron of Wellingtons at Lucca, and they were proving a very nasty thorn in the side of the flesh of the enemy forces, and that is why Malta became the target of such prolonged siege and intense bombing. During my stay at Lucca, we continued with the VHFDF work, and during my 3 years in Malta, I served at Takali, which was a fighter base, Halfa, also a fighter base, and Califrana, which was actually a Sunderland flying boat base. It was much the same work in all those stations, VHF direction finding. Oh, and then for possibly something like 6 months, I spent in Goza, a nearby island to Malta. That gave some relief from the constant bombing. We set up a station, again in an old farm building in Gozo, and for a short while we were lived in a hotel called the Duke of Edinburgh near Victoriosa in Gozo. Our hotel stay was short-lived, really. We moved into other accommodation adjoining Victoriosa. And unfortunately, occasionally the Italians would do a strafe down the main street, and the locals tended to blame our presence as a reason for that. But after a short while we were well received, and Gozo was quite a respite, really. In the evening, for example, when the temperature dropped and it was getting dark, we used to follow a group of musicians walking around the island, playing typical Maltese folk music on that lovely instrument, the mandolin. And we used to enjoy that very much. So the stay eventually in Gozo, they built a radar station on a mountainside, so we had a small proper RAF unit then, and we moved into that. Radar, of course, in those days was crude compared with what it is nowadays. For instance, Sicily, where the Luftwaffe and Aeronautica were based, was only 60 miles from Malta, so by the time the aircraft were airborne, even at the speed in those days, they were almost over the target anyway. 15 minutes flying time, and they were there. What radar there was a help, but it meant that the scrambling of aircraft from airfields in Malta had to be very, very rapid indeed to enable our aircraft to gain sufficient height to be in a combative position. I left Gozo with quite a lot of happy memories, really, and been there a couple of times on holiday since. One amongst them was, of course, where I learned to play chess. But from Gozo, I got posted to air headquarters, the RAF air headquarters in Valletta. Valletta, of course, being the capital of Malta and alongside the Grand Harbour. And the air headquarters was wholly underground, quite large areas. I found myself in the operations room. This wasn't radio direction finding, this really was radio telephone operating again, which I found a bit monotonous actually. But we were billeted in a bombed Maltese house. I think it was in South Street. Further up the road was the canteen. The air headquarters was also an interesting time. Some of the bombing was still continuing. I wasn't all that far away when the Pride and Joy of Malta, the opera house in Valletta, was hit. And that turned into a bit of a mess of things. But at our headquarters, I joined the headquarters boxing team, and I played water polo for the RAF headquarters swimming team. Malta was reputed to be the most heavily bombed area for its size during the whole of the World War II. But the Italians were very accurate in their bombing, and they bombed from high levels. And a lot of the letters got damaged. Their main target, of course, was the Grand Harbour and the dockyard, and that suffered most of the consequences of the bombing. A lot of the German bombing was a bit more haphazard, and a lot of the German bombs never exploded. There were a lot of unexploded bombs. One has to pay tribute to the bomb disposal squad of those days. They were brave men, because these bombs weren't getting lodged in deep soil and farmland. They were mainly in rocks and buildings and sandstone. And they had some very, very difficult tasks and very hazardous tasks in extracting them. But they were a very brave men. During my stay in Valletta, the Maltese people were awarded the George Cross. And when it came out to medals, there was no specific medal for service in Malta, but we were told that Malta service would be incorporated in the medal of the Africa Star, so we were entitled to the campaign medal of the Africa Star. In May 1944, I'd been in Malta for almost 3 years, and the powers that be decided that they were going to send us back to the UK. We were going home to Blighty, as it was called. Would we be flown home? Would we go on a troop ship? How would we get home? The answer soon was evident. We weren't going to fly or go on a troop ship. After 3 years in Malta, with all the problems that involved, our reward was to be sent home on a damaged tank landing craft, an LST F-121 called the Boxer. And the Boxer took part in the Allied invasion of Italy, and it had its bottom stowed in at Salerno. And it had been repaired to make it sufficiently seaworthy. It wasn't a particularly big ship. It had a displacement of something like 3,500 tons.